Tyler Bowman, where are you? My apologies, I could not think of your name as we engaged in prayer, but both you and Calvin are very welcome to be back with us again. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us turn to God's Word again and consider a beautiful and a precious Bible text as we have read it already from Romans chapter 8, the verses 38 and 39. And it should really lift our hearts, I would think, especially the hearts of all those who have confessed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by showing that in coming to the table of the Lord, and also by having their child baptized as well. And so let us then consider our text simply by these words: no separation. No separation. There are four things I want to consider with you briefly. And that is, first of all, the issue. Secondly, the extent. Thirdly, the reason. And then fourthly, the certainty of no separation. Now, congregation, what is the issue here? Well, the issue is that for you and me as believers, there is no separation from the love of God. First of all, you might ask, well, what is this love of God? How can we describe this love of God? Well, we know also from other portions of God's Word that it is indescribable. But one thing that we can say about it is that it is unconditional. It is unconditional in respect to believers in Jesus Christ. God loves the believers unconditionally. We have learned from the last two messages, preparatory and also this morning as well, that believers definitely are not perfect. We do things that sadly grieve the Lord our God, but still we may know that God still loves us unconditionally. Well then, knowing this, it should make us careful, not intentionally, to grieve our loving God by doing things that are wrong. It hurts, doesn't it? To be sure. When the one whom you love the most does something that is wrong towards you. Well, that is how it is with God as well. And on the other hand, don't you feel bad when you know that you've hurt the one who loves you so much? Husband, wife, children, parents, grandparents. Don't you feel bad, boys and girls, when you have done something wrong and you can tell on the face of your mom and dad that they really feel sad about this? Don't you feel bad about that? Again, the love of God is an unconditional love for you who believe in Him. But at the same time, you need to be sensitive to that sort of unconditional love, that you won't hurt it. Next, what is implied here in our text when it speaks of no separation from the love of God? Well, it implies that this unconditional love of God for you and for me is steadfast. It is steadfast. That means that God will never walk out on you. He will never ever stop loving you. Now we know from Revelation chapter 2, where the Lord Jesus Christ, He addresses the church of Ephesus, and He tells them, you have left your first love. But God could never be charged with that at all. God never ever leaves His first love. And therefore, there should be no fear amongst us at all that we could ever be separated from the love of God. Now, this does not mean that you will always be sensitive to that love of God. There may be times when you feel that God does not love you anymore. I've heard it said, I don't think God loves me anymore because of whatever has happened. Psalm 77 also speaks of this, where the believer has begun to doubt and says, has God forgotten grace? Has he withdrawn his tender love in anger, hid his face? You see, when you are in trouble and when you are actually suffering or think that you're being punished for something, you might begin to think that God has withdrawn his love from you and doesn't love you anymore. But you know, you cannot go by feelings. You can't go by feelings. You cannot go by just merely sense. You need to go by the Word of God. And the Word of God says, I will never leave nor forsake you. That's what God says to the believers. God has promised this, and therefore you know that nothing will be able to separate you from the love of God. And therefore, the issue is that God's love is unconditional, undiminished, inseparable. Let me go to my second point, the extent. To what extent will there be no separation from the love of God? Will there be anything, will there be any power that can actually break God's love from you or me? Or that could sever that love of God? Or that could separate you from the love of God? Is there any power that could possibly do that? Well, you have heard already your imperfections and your wrongdoings, and even your indwelling sin, or bosom sins as it can be called, they cannot separate you from the love of God. That does not mean that God loves your sin. The very opposite to that, in fact. He is offended by it, and he is grieved by your sins. And that, in turn, should grieve you, and bring you to sorrow and repentance. But God loves you, dear brother or sister, because you have trusted in Jesus Christ, His beloved Son. His love for you is therefore inseparable. And to emphasize this, our text says the following, that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. There's a whole list there, you see. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now, this love of God is not only inseparable, it is also without limits. You see, death does not have the power to separate us from the love of God. In fact, death, it actually brings us closer to the heart and to the embrace of God. Why do you think, for instance, it says in Psalm 116, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious. The death of a believer, you see, is for God like a loved one finally coming home again. So, no, death will not separate us from the love of God. Death. But neither does life separate us from the love of God. And you know that life in this world can have its temptations. Life has its distractions. Life can cause us to be very preoccupied. Life, especially in this day and age of ours, is actually detrimental to a healthy relationship with God. But life in itself does not have the power to separate us from the love of God. And then we are told about the angels and principalities and powers. And you could ask, could they possibly be a threat and separate us from the love of God? Well, we know, of course, that good angels, they are no threat to us whatsoever. They rejoice when they see God loving us and we loving God. And so, our text, when it speaks of angels, can therefore only be speaking of the fallen angels and the ungodly philosophies and the dark powers that exist in this world of today. And we know those dark powers exist in this world today because there are those who who think only in ways to please themselves and displease God. There are many people in this day and age who are in the grip of those dark powers. And sad to say, but we see this even amongst presidents and prime ministers and governors and judges of the nations. But these dark powers, dear people, and these ungodly philosophies, they do not have the ability to separate us from the love of God. Then, what about devils? Well, devils, they will try. Definitely, they will try. They will try to seduce us and to draw us away from God. But God's love for us will make sure that they ultimately cannot harm us. Worldly powers, they too may threaten us with persecution, for instance, as what is happening in the Middle East. But, and as we have read it time and time again and hear about it as well, it will drive the love of God actually deeper in the hearts of those believers who are persecuted. And in the face of death, they will not say anything wrong about God, but they will say, I believe in Jesus Christ, even if they are killed. The powers of darkness, they will try. And no doubt you have experienced that at times as well. But they do not have the power to separate us from the love of God. And then our text speaks yet of things present and things to come. And this most likely refers to the present and to the future calamities of sorts. We do not know what is going to happen yet in this world of ours. Christian persecution definitely is on the rise, but also other calamities may come towards us. But at the same time, let us remember these words from our text, and let us not lose hope. Let us not lose confidence, dear people, because these things too cannot possibly separate us from the love of God. Look at what Paul writes in the few verses before our text. For instance, verse 35 of Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? And the answer is obvious. None of these things can separate us from the love of God. What about heights or depths? Could they separate us from the love of God? Well, I'm reminded, for instance, of the Psalter that we often sing. Where can I go apart from thee, or whither from thy presence flee? In heaven it is thy dwelling fair, in death's abode, lo, thou art there. So you see, there is no height that is too high, and there is no depth that is too deep that could separate us from the love, from the presence of God, and from the love of God. And finally, we are told also in our text, is there any creature that could separate us from the love of God? And you could also ask it in this way. Is there anything in creation that you can think of that could possibly have the power or the ability to separate us from the love of God? Well, again, the answer is there is nothing in heaven and there is nothing on earth that can limit us or that can limit or cut off the love of God from us. And so, the extent of God's love is without limits. His love for us is not only unconditional, it is not only inseparable, but it is unlimited. And dear people, what a blessing it is to know that God loves us through His Son, Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is that there is nothing at all that can separate us from that marvelous love. As believers, you and I, we may therefore embrace the warmth of this love and adore and worship the God who shows such great love to us. I come to my third point, the reason. What reason does our text give that nothing will separate us from the love of God? It is found actually in the last few words of our text, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And here, dear people, here we have a great and wonderful mystery. God loves us in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. The love of God and the love of Christ Jesus cannot be separated from each other. They belong, they fit together. And when I say, therefore, that God loves, it also means that Christ Jesus loves you. This is why we are told, for instance, in verse 35 of our text chapter, where the Apostle Paul asks, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And why he says in our text that nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so in either case, the love of God and the love of Christ Jesus is a marvelous love. Why? Because it is a self-giving, it is a self-sacrificing love, dear people. The Father sacrificed His Son. The Son sacrificed His life for loving us. And of course, this is then the great reason why nothing shall separate us from the love of God. God gave His dear Son to die for us. And it is indeed marvelous that God loved us, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life, so we are told. And this, dear brothers and sisters, is the great reason why nothing will separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But there is yet another reason. Yes, it's a subordinate reason why nothing will separate us from this great and marvelous love of God. And it is to be found in our faith in Christ Jesus. Without faith, and you know this from Hebrews chapter 11, it is impossible to please God. But whoever believes in Jesus Christ, they are beloved of God. Not because of any good in them, but for Jesus Christ's sake. You see, God the Father is so attached to His Son, Jesus Christ, that He loves us notwithstanding our unloveliness. In Christ Jesus, our Lord, and by faith in Him, dear people, nothing shall separate us, therefore, from the love of God. Christ is, therefore, the reason, and faith in Him is the way, the manner, the way we may experience God's love. This takes me to my fourth point, the certainty. Now, you'll have noticed that I have left this point as my last point, but it is actually found at the very beginning of our text. There the Apostle Paul says, for I am persuaded. And I've left this for my last point because that is really what I want you to walk home with tonight and dwell on more extensively for yourself. Because this is the sentiment that Paul has, and that's the sentiment that you and I should also have. How certain is he, Paul, that nothing will separate him from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus the Lord? He is absolutely certain. He is persuaded. Or as the word actually implies, he is fully persuaded. And what has persuaded him? I could point you to two things. First of all, the Word of God. And his own experience. The Word of God definitely has persuaded him that the love of God is for him without separation. He has read in the Word of God, the Bible, those marvelous words of promise, for instance, in Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. And remember these words, to look them up again, Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, "The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness I have drawn you." You remember the day when you were drawn to Christ? It was the love that drew you, you see. And it's the love of God that keeps you close to Him. God, you see, He has embraced you with these words. And through faith, you may experience that embrace. And it gives you that certainty that you may even say, "I am fully persuaded." And secondly, not only the Word of God, but also, as I said already, Paul's own experience has persuaded him that the love of God for him is without separation. Now, there were times in Paul's life that he was utterly alone. You can read of this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, for instance. At my first answer, "No one stood with me," he says, "but all men forsook me." These were times also when there was strong opposition by evil men. But what does Paul write of his experience? He says this, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." You see, it was the love of God that he felt to be surrounded with, and it is the love of God that kept him going, though all others forsook him and others opposed him. The certainty of no separation is proven by the very words of our text. Now, dear people, do you know, personally, this unconditional, this unlimited love of God? Let it be the first and foremost issue in your life. If you know this love of God, you may take comfort in knowing that absolutely nothing, not even your indwelling sin, will separate you from this great love of God. But the question is, have you believed in Jesus Christ? Because it is through Him, you see, that you may enjoy this inseparable love of God. He, Jesus Christ, is really the reason why God loves you. And if you believe in Christ Jesus our Lord, you may then also be confidently certain that God's love for you is without separation. And I pray, therefore, that you too may be persuaded by this word that comes to us after the celebrations of the sacraments of the Lord's Supper and baptism. And it is for all of us to dwell on that again and again. What does this love of God mean to me after I've been at the table of the Lord? And how can I show that love to God in return? And it is also for you as parents. It is the love of God that has reached down to your little Theo. And now the question for you is, how can I show that love to God in return? And it is through Jesus Christ. Believe on Him. Place your full trust in Him. Show that you want to love as God has loved you. And one day, we will be embraced physically by that great love of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.